You know what? I think I'm going to have Vicki, if you shut the... The Holy Spirit was showing me some things that I did not expect. But I believe our theme is going to be about transformation. And, of course, what is the common denominator in those pictures? Before and after. Makeovers. How many of you love that those shows about makeovers? Not just girl makeup makeovers, but anything. I like to see them redo a chair. I like to watch them redo anything. I like to see when they take something and they just redo it. I love makeover. And I think there's reason, I think some of the reason for that is that it's scriptural. And if you'll write down this scripture, let it be your first scripture for tonight, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. Most of you know this scripture or you've heard it before. But it really addresses this whole concept of being made over. Having a God makeover is what I'm after here tonight. I'm after it in the next few weeks. I believe that we have come into a place where it's time that God is saying, I'm going to do some new things in you. I'm going to change some things. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, it says, therefore, if you don't mind, I feminized this scripture for us a little bit without, and I'm not going to mess up any of the truth. But I just wanted to read like this. Therefore, if any woman be in Christ, she is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any woman is in Christ, she is a new creature. You believe that?
Yes.
Were you made new? Did you notice a newness whenever Christ came into your life?
Yes.
Are you the same person you were before? Because if you are, then Christ hasn't come in yet. I can only tell you that. Because when Christ comes in, everything changes. There's a newness. There's a transformation. And I know this from serving the Lord now forever, it feels, but at least all of my adult life, there has never been a time in my adult life and in my relationship to God that I did not feel like God was working on me. You never reach a point that you're done. You never reach a point that God is finished. And I don't care what you're going through or what you've already been through, it's not the end. The only thing that I think the final thing is going to be when we are made in his likeness, when Jesus returns, and when we see him, the Bible says we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We will see the truth, and we will see what we were always intended to be as well. Eternity alone is going to reveal the final work that Christ has done. Now, there's a lot of things that we have already settled, but there's always a constant transition. The other day in prayer, I just felt, I was asking the Lord, from time to time, especially after Sunday, when Jay said reflect, I was reflecting. And I said, Lord, where am I at? And I felt like the Lord said, you're transitioning again. And I thought, oh, wow. I will never forget in 1994, we had been at this property for about a year. We had been at 10 years at another property. And part of that 6 or 7 months when we first moved here was a constant, it was a total renovation of these buildings. We had, in here they had a dark green carpet and lime green pews, and that needed to be changed quickly, real quick. And it was distracting, it was so ugly. And then the building had been very, very neglected. And so back where our office is now, they had converted into a trash room. And when we opened the door, it was stacked to the ceiling with big black trash bags that were full of rotten, smelly stuff. It was awful. And so for about 6 to 8 months, we spent the first 6 to 8 months working 15, 16 hours a day, just cleaning it out, gutting it out, and all of the, where ETS is, that whole thing had to be completely changed and transformed. So it was a lot of transformation. There was a whole lot going on. And this is... So one night, we had been working, and I was so tired. This was months into it, and I was so exhausted. And I laid down, and I had just got, it was one of those times that you're so tired that as soon as you hit the pillow, you're gone. Maybe on the way down, you're gone. I mean, I was just so tired. And I was there, at least I thought it was, and so clearly, I heard that inner voice. It wasn't audible, but it was so real it felt audible. Like it was just somebody in the room saying this to me. And the voice said, "Debbie, I want to change you." And I knew immediately it was the Lord. And I came up out of a completely exhausted feeling sleep. I sat straight up in the bed. And I knew that what the Lord was saying, "Debbie, I want to change you." And I remember my response. And my response was, "Lord, are you kidding? Do you know what I'm doing? Do you know where I'm at? Do you know what I'm feeling? Do you know what I'm going through?" Which is the dumbest set of questions you could ever put to God. Like, he doesn't know everything. Of course he knew where I was. Of course he knew what I was going through. But God said to me, he said, "Debbie, I want to change you." And I just, you know what I said? And it was, I regretted this for a year. And I know it was a year. I said, "Lord, could you just kind of wait till this is all over with and then start?" You know, we bargain with God sometimes, don't we? Don't look at me like you've never bargained with God. You have. You know you have. You have, you know, "Lord, could we do this? Could you do this?" You know? And immediately when I said it, I knew that I had grieved. I had hurt God by my response. Because my response was basically saying, "God, I know better than you about what's going on with me." And immediately I felt I had hurt him, and I felt him just pull away from me. And my second response was, oh, I'm sorry. But it was too late. It was too late. And it was like, no, it was done. And I spent the next year saying, "God, please, I'm sorry, change me. And I didn't get any relief. And you said, "Well, why did God do it like that?" I mean, you know, and I'm just telling you my experience. My experience may not be, I mean, you may turn around and say, "Oh, God, forgive me." And he goes, "Okay." But not for me. And it was long and drawn out. And I felt a removal of his presence from my life. And it was painful. It was a super painful time. And finally, I was in Beaumont at a convention. And I cried out and I said, "Lord, I cannot live this way anymore. I'm feeling like you're upset with me and that I've hurt you. God, I'm so sorry. Please, let me hear your voice again. Let me feel your spirit again the way that I know is possible." And instantly, I knew that everything was good and everything was right. Two months later, right after, well, maybe 6 weeks after that convention, I'd been feeling really bad. And that's when they diagnosed me with a brain tumor. And it was in all of that process. And I knew that God was trying to talk to me. God was trying to get through to me. He was trying to prepare me for what I was about to go through. But I thought I knew better. So when we talk about transformation and we read the word and it says, if we are in Christ. And, you know, if I were you, I would write that scripture out in your notebook somewhere. You don't have to do it right now, but write down the reference. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Go back and write that down. And maybe even personalize it to say, therefore, since Christ is in me, I'm a new creature. Old things are passing away from my life. Behold, all things are becoming new. Personalize it. It's very important to personalize the scripture. And as you do that, but see, God was trying to prepare me for something. But sometimes we think, well, I know better than God. In fact, you may be sitting here tonight going, I'm wondering why I came tonight, because I don't need transformation. And I don't really probably need to hear this message, you know. But I encourage you, please be patient and don't jump the gun like I did. Let God speak to you tonight. Trust him. You see, he was wanting to change me in the area of trusting him. That was one of the big things. Trusting him that he knows better for my life than I did. Trusting me that he can see my future and prepare me for it better than I knew. So wherever you're at tonight in that transformation process, I want you to know, first of all, God is with you. God loves you. God is for you, not against you. God doesn't look at you and say, "I hate you." God will never say that, by the way. Did you know that? God will never tell you that he hates you. God may tell you that he wants to change you like he did me. But he doesn't hate you. He loves you. And that is why he wants to change you. Because he wants you to become what he has purposed for you from the beginning. You know, the Bible says, and write this scripture down too. Read this chapter, Psalms 139. I'm not going to read all of it. But in that scripture, in that passage, it is the one that says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And the Lord knew me when, even before I was formed in my mother's belly. Do you realize that even before, and those of you that have had a child, even if you don't, this is an easy concept to grab. God knew us before we ever were. He knew all about us. He knew how you would be. And can I tell you something? He loves you the way you are. But he won't leave you the way you are. He constantly is going to keep working on you and with you. The reason that I love to see these transformation makeover shows is because I believe that it carries a spiritual message. And like this verse says, the old passes away. You know, I just love it when they go in and they gut things in those houses and take it down. So I've seen them take it all the way to the foundation, you know, and just start over. But there's a spiritual message because it says, the old passes away and the new comes. The other reason I believe is because I love a happy ending. How about you?
Amen.
I love a happy ending. Have you ever seen a movie on television or something and you come to the end and it's just one of those real sorry, sad, open-ended things that you're not even sure you get it? What were they trying to say or anything? I'm like, I have sat here 2 hours and waited for the ending to this and that's it? I want you to know God already knows your end. And let me tell you what, it's a happy ending. No matter where you're at right now, God has purposed a happy ending. He told me to tell you a couple of very important things tonight. I'm going to tell you one of them right now. Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. And the purpose of this transformation is to get you ready for that event. It's not to transform you because you're going to live here forever. Now, I will tell you this. If you'll cooperate with God, you will have things. Things will be better in your life. Things will be better in your relationships if you will do what God tells you to do. The transformation, and you allow it. It will be good. But ultimately, God is getting you ready for the next stage. He's getting you ready for heaven. Because, see, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 27, it says that he is coming for a church, his body, that is without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. That there will not be anything unholy in it. And honestly, I'm not looking at you. I'm looking at my own life and I'm going, God, there are spots in Debbie and there are blemishes in Debbie. And Lord, do a work on me because, Lord, I want to be ready. I want to be ready for what you're about to do. So we are in the process of getting ready for a great event. And it's like, I was thinking about in these makeovers, you see these girls, and I thought some of them were really pretty before anything was done to them. Some of them, like me, need a little bit more help. But, I don't know how people say this, because you've never seen me without makeup. I'm one of these that whenever I don't wear makeup, people go, oh, I didn't know you'd been sick. I'm not joking, because my face just goes away if I don't put some kind of makeup on. So my husband even told me one time that if we had ever belonged to a church that didn't allow makeup, they would make an exception in my case. They would. But when you look at those pictures and you see this girl and then you see her all glammed up and you see all the pretty hair and makeup and pretty clothes and all that kind of stuff, you look at it and you think, oh, that's gorgeous and that's wonderful. I wonder what she's getting ready for. Because you don't just do this for nothing. You get ready for something. Whenever you transform the house, it's like, what are you getting their house ready for? Maybe those houses, they're getting ready for a big party. And the point is this, God is not going to transform you and make you something better and something greater than you ever even imagined for nothing. He's getting you ready for something. And the first thing he told me he's getting you ready for is his soon return. He's working on you. He is working on you, getting you ready for that. Now, can I tell you this? Sometimes as women, most of the time as women, we get so earthbound. We get so earthbound. You say, what is earthbound? I mean that like you're just like this, that you forget about heaven. We forget about heaven. We forget about eternity because we're wrapped up in paying the bills and taking care of the kids and changing the diapers and cooking the meals and putting on another load of clothes and making sure everybody's happy.
and taking the kids for lessons, and taking them for this, and taking them for that, and trying to solve all the problems of the world. Sherry is the secretary with the church. Sometimes she and I will have conversations, and I've talked to several of you, and when we get through, we have covered everything from Afghanistan to changing diapers. And I just feel like when it's done with, I feel like saying, if they would just call us, we could solve the world's problems in a couple of hours. You know, but that's being earthbound. Because all of my energy does not need to go into staying here forever. I'm not going to be here forever. I'm getting myself, my life, ready to join with the King of Kings. I'm getting ready for heaven. I'm getting ready for a place that he told me he has gone to prepare for me and for you. I don't know what your house looks like now, but you ain't going to believe what that one looks like. The master carpenter has been at work, and he's preparing something awesome for us. That's the first thing that he wanted me to tell you. But here's the second. The second thing you're getting ready for. You're not getting transformed, glammed up, made over just for heaven. There's something else that's going to take place. I believe, and I believe I can say this with confidence. I had this lesson all done, and if I look like I'm kind of fumbling around, it's because the Lord messed me up about 4:30. I had my lesson done, I had my notes made, and I'm going to stick with them, and I'm going to tell you what he's given me here. But what he told me at 4:30 is super important. The second thing that he told me, and this is for this church and the women of this church, and if you're here tonight, I have to believe this. If you say, well, this is not really my church, well, there's a reason he wanted you to hear what I'm about to say. Because you may be a part of what I'm about to say. The second reason he's transforming us and getting us ready is this. There is a mighty revival that is coming to this church.
Amen.
And he's getting us ready.
Hallelujah.
You say, what is a revival? A revival is what it sounds like. The root of it is the word vibe. It means life, coming back to life. And you can't come back to life spiritually without coming back to God. So revival is when people become aware that there is more than what they see. They become aware that God wants to intervene in their life. They become aware that they are sinners in need of a Savior. And the revival, many times, is for people that are already saved. In fact, it is more sometimes for the people that are already saved, because you can't be revived unless you've been vibed. Does that make sense? Unless you've been made alive. And there's only one way that we have life, and that is through Jesus Christ. That is to be born again. You can't join a church. You are born into the church of God. Now, you may join a local body, but in order to get into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. Jesus said it. Read John chapter 3. Write that down if you want to know all about being born again. And that's a new concept. Maybe you've never heard that. And tonight, maybe you need to be born again. You say, well, I'm alive. If without Christ, you are dead in your spirit. Your hands and eyes and everything may be functioning. Your mind might be working, sort of. But you are dead spiritually. And until your spirit is made alive unto God, you are dead, and the Bible says you're not just dead, but your destination is not heaven. It's that other place. The only way to heaven, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except he goes through me. This is what the Lord told me that messed me up this afternoon. He said, Debbie, because see, I thought this transformation and God makeover thing was for you. And it is. It is for you, because God loves you so much that he is going to start working on you in an intense way if you will allow it. You know, those people that whenever they come into their house and they're going to redo all that stuff and they're going to change everything, they have to get the permission of the owners to do it. You don't just walk in somebody's house and say, hey, I'm here to knock out the bathroom walls and start changing everything. I mean, I wouldn't mind it if somebody offered me that, I'll be honest with you, but they have to get my permission to do it. Well, you are master of your own life in that sense.
And unless you allow God to come in and make these transformations, I can stand up here every Wednesday night for the next many weeks, and I can tell you how to let God in. I can tell you how to be transformed. But until you say yes, lady, it ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm asking you, do you want transformation? Do you feel any need? You know, and I'm going to get to it in just a minute about the transformation part. But I want to tell you this. I thought it was all about just seeing you all come to another level of development and process in God. And wasn't that going to be awesome? And I was excited thinking about what we were all going to look like after God gets through with us. You know, I'm tempted to take everybody's picture tonight. And then at the end of 12 weeks or however long this lasts, take another picture and look before and after. You can see it in her eyes. You can see it in her face. But I thought it was all about that. But it's more than that. God is going to change you if you let him. But he's changing you because you are going to be a force to be reckoned with in this revival.
Yes, amen.
You are going to be mightily used of God to see other people come into the kingdom. You are going to be a woman that God's word is going to be in your mouth. You're going to be a woman that God's going to put a song on your lips. And when you sing, people are just going to reach out to God. When you speak words and you give out advice, people are going to feel the chains come off of them. God is going to change you to change others. I saw something this afternoon. I saw like when the revival is coming. And Vivian, I reread a vision that Vivian had last year. Was it last year? Last year. About a double door that opened wide with the glory and the light of God coming through. And in it, it was just emanating all of the things that we've been praising God and worshiping God and giving. All those things were there. But it was the unlimited supply and glory of God settling over us so that people would be drawn to the light. People are going to be drawn to this church because of what God's about to do. What God is going to do. But he needs somebody to be a vessel that says, I'll be part of helping bring others in. I will be a light. And it's so odd. You won't believe this. But this afternoon, some of you that are the newest people in our church, it's like I could see you in this altar, not being prayed for, but you praying for people. I can call you by name. I'm telling you, I know exactly who you are. It was wonderful to see what God can do. But it is dependent on transformation. Let me move on just a little bit here. I want to give you about 4 points about this transformation. I think there's about 4 categories here. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't expecting this many ladies, but I'm so glad you're all here. Because I was going to ask a question and let everybody answer it, but I don't think we've got time for that tonight. But I want you to think about it and write it down in your day. Write yourself this question. What if I could change anything negative about myself, what would it be? If I could change anything negative about myself, what would it be? Or another way of saying is, what areas do I need change? The other question is this, and this is an important one too. What do I like about myself? What do I like about myself? You know, it's okay to like yourself. That journal, this book is yours. I want you to write in it. I want you to spend some time. This book, write to yourself. Don't write to me. I'm not going to read it unless you want me to. And I'm real nosy, so. But I don't plan on reading anybody's book. I want you to write to yourself. I want you to write about where you feel like you're at, where you've been, where you're headed, changes, areas of weakness, places that you know that God needs to do a work. Write it down. Write about the areas and give him thanks for the areas that he's already strengthened. Areas of places he's brought you out of. Things he's delivered you from. There's like 4 different groups, I think, here tonight. First of all, I think there are some of you, don't raise your hand, do not respond on any of this, okay? God, this is just for you. But I mean, there's some ladies here and you just feel like, I'm beyond help. I'm beyond help. Sister Debbie, if you knew what was going on in my life right now, you would realize I am a train wreck. I'm dysfunctional. I can't seem to get it together. I'm so messed up. My kids are messed up. My husband's messed up. Everything's messed up. I'm beyond help. That's one category. Secondly, I believe there's people that say, I need help, but I'm afraid of change. I need some help, but I'm afraid of change. That's group two. Group three. This group three, you need to listen real good tonight, okay? This group says, it's the people around me. They're the ones that really need help. I'm fine, but they really need help. And then there's a group, and you may be sitting here saying, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't need help. I really don't need any help. I want us to agree on four more things here tonight. First of all, I disagree with that last thing. I think we all need help. Every one of us need help. Romans 3:23, write that scripture. Romans 3:23 says it this way. It says, for all, everybody say all. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are no saints in this room. There are sinners, and there are sinners saved by God's grace. But we are all sinners according to the word of God. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory. James 4:6 says something also important. Whenever we say we don't need help, he says God resists the proud. People that say I don't need help. But gives grace, which is favor, strength, and help to the humble. If you want God's help, you're going to have to humble yourself. You're going to have to admit you need help. God will not force himself upon you. God will not make you do anything. You know, because if he would, then we would be robots, right? And that's why people sometimes don't understand. They'll say, I don't know why God didn't stop that. Why didn't he keep them from doing that? Because it was so evil and so awful. Because God didn't make robots. He gave every human being free choice. And we cannot pick and choose when we want God to intervene. You see, when everything's going right in our life, we want God to stay out. I'm talking in generalities here tonight. I know that if you're a born-again Christian, you don't feel that way. You feel the exact opposite. You're like, God help me all the time. You're dependent upon him. But I was talking about the world. The world says and said, I don't really need God. Everything's going good. I'm good. I'm good. And they don't feel their need of God. And you've got people in your life, they don't feel their need of God. Maybe you need to pray, Lord, help them feel their need. And by the way, don't be the person that tells them that. Can I tell you something that's irritating? When people get up to you all the time and go, you need God. You need help. You need help. Because that just makes people mad. That's a good piece of advice. Just don't tell people. Tell God to tell them they need help. That's a better way. And then God has what you say. Well, how's God going to tell them? God's got ways. God has got some ways of letting people know they need some help. So when we look at the scripture, and always we're going to look at the scripture, there's nothing that we're going to teach in this class that is going to be just opinion. If there's an opinion, it's going to be opinion based on the word of God. God says he resists the proud, but he gives grace. He gives help to those that will humble themselves and say, I need it. Number two, we need to recognize my help comes from God. My help comes from God. Now, I'm going to break this down in just a little bit. Psalms 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's Psalms 46:1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present. That means available now. When it says God is a present help, he's available now. And it doesn't matter. At midnight tonight, he will be available now if you need help. Isn't that awesome? Can't you just say, thank you, Lord, that you are 24/7, that there's not going to be a time that I need help that you're not available? What an awesome God we serve. Psalms 121:2 says, my help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And you know what? He did not have to add that last part. We could just say, my help comes from the Lord. And everybody go, amen. Amen. Our help comes from the Lord. But he added that next part that says that made heaven and earth. That's our way of knowing. If God can make heaven and earth, he can help little old me. If God is master of the universe and everything you see, he did it. Everything you see, he made it. Then he can take care of me. He is our help. Isaiah 41:10, and I love this one. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Don't be dismayed. That means don't be upset. Don't be troubled. Don't fret. Anybody know what it is to fret? It's not a word we use. To be anxious. Everybody knows panic attack, don't you? Well, fret is just before panic attack. Fret leads to panic attack. And the Bible says don't fret. The Bible says cast your care on the Lord. Don't fret. In Psalms 37, it's very specific. It says don't fret because of evil people. Don't fret because your boss is mean. Give it to God. And he says if you will, he'll give you peace. He'll give you joy. See, sometimes when we get into prayer, we think, oh, we're just going to have to pray, oh, God, do this, and God, have you ever bossed God around? God, you need to do this, and you need to do that. We don't have to do that. He's already promised he's going to do all kinds of things. Why don't we just call back his word to us? Lord, you told me not to fret. I ain't going to fret. I'm not going to fret. I'm going to cast my care on you because you care for me. Psalms 41 and 10 says, fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will hold you up with the right hand of my righteousness. God's holding you up. In case you didn't know how you got through today, it was God. Amen. He's the one that held you together. You say, well, I mean, you know, I'm, no. We're held together by his hand. And it's specific, and it says his right hand. And the right hand in scripture, if you want to make a little note, is always a symbol of his strength and authority. God's strength and authority is represented by his right hand. So when he says, I'm holding you up with the right hand of my righteousness, it means nothing can touch you. It means that God is greater than anything that is going to come against you, that God wants to help you. So when we talk about we all need help, and my help comes from God the Father. Then the next thing is, with God, we need to believe all things are possible. We started off this year in the miraculous. We're going to continue in the miraculous. We will end this year in the miraculous. We will start next year in the miraculous. You say, what do you mean? I mean, a miracle is where God intervenes in the natural order of things and does something that cannot be done in the natural. God does a supernatural work. A supernatural thing. And so it is God that does it. But you and I have got to believe with God, all things are possible. Even in you. Even in me. Because sometimes the biggest project is not the kids, and it's not the job, and it's not everything else that we're worried about. The biggest project is right here. The biggest problem can be right here. We need to believe that with God all things are possible. Luke 1:37 says it. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Would you say that with me? With God, nothing will be impossible.
Nothing will be impossible.
Not even me.
Not even me.
Have you ever given up on yourself? We're going to talk about that in a minute. If we're going to please God, then we got to know how to do it. What pleases God? Obedience. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's Hebrews 11:6. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For those who come to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. I don't believe you come out on a Wednesday night because you got nothing better to do. I believe you came out on a Wednesday night because God brought you here and because you do have need in your life. You got some areas that God wants to work on and God wants to talk to you about. He wants you to come to him in faith. It takes faith to believe for the impossible. And you'll never know. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, I wish God would give me a miracle. Be careful about what you're saying. Because in order to have a miracle, you're going to have an impossible situation. How many in here, God has ever done anything miraculous for you? If you're a Christian, your hand should be up. Your hand should be up because you are a miracle. You're a miracle. God changed you. God delivered you. You were once in sin. You were once in trespasses against God. You trespassed against the laws of God. And in His love, He saved you. That's a miracle. I'm telling you what, you know, it's one thing for people to tell you that they love you, but when it says God loves you, that's a miracle. Because nobody knows us like God knows us. Amen? Nobody knows us like God. And for God to still say He loves us, that's a miracle. It's a miracle. If you really knew me, it's a miracle. If I really knew you, don't put on your little churchy face and voice and come in here. You ain't fooling me. I've been doing this 30 years. I can see right through that mess. I know you're messed up. But I know a God that's able to take all your mess and turn it into a miracle. And do things for you and do for your family and do for everything else that goes on in your life. He's a miracle working God. So we need to know that God, all things are possible. Number four. This may be one of the most important things I'm going to say to you. And it's the last thing in this particular part. The Word of God is the blueprint for change in me. The Word of God is the blueprint for change in me. How many in here, you've ever been on a diet? I got both hands and one foot up answering that question. How many, you know, is the question. How many of you've ever, I don't know, there's all kinds of things that we try to do to change ourselves. And we follow somebody else's advice and we follow somebody else's plan. And it's disgusting, you know, there's some people. And oh, let me just tell you, okay, let me throw something out here that girls know that this is terrible. Men and women do not lose weight at the same rate, okay? You can be on the exact same diet. You can work out the same amount of time. And they will lose 10 more pounds than you do. It ain't right. I don't know what it is about, but it ain't right. So what I'm trying to say is this. A lot of times man's blueprint and the way men or women or anybody else will advise you to do, it is not the blueprint for change in your life. The only permanent change can be found in the Word of God. Nothing will change you like the Word of God. Whatever is going on in you right now, the answer is found in the Word of God. It's the absolute truth. You say, well, I've never read anything in there about this, this, this. Let's talk about that for a minute because this is where God messed me up today. See, I wanted to come in here and I wanted to make all y'all real happy tonight. I want to make y'all feel like, oh good, I'm in a class and we're going to be transformed. And everybody's going to be beautiful when it's over with and God is so good and it's awesome. I really wanted to have this happy feeling and happy, happy all over everybody, you know. I wanted you to go out here going, oh, I came in kind of heavy and I'm just walking out. It's like I'm walking on air. That's what I wanted. And then the Lord messed me up. Because He told me some stuff about y'all.
Oh, no.
Not to... That's what I said. That's what I said. Before I say this, I just want to qualify something. I count it a real, real privilege to be your pastor's wife. And to be the pastor's wife in this church. I count it such a privilege. It's an honor.
Amen.
I think you're the most wonderful group of women. And I thank God every day for you. I do. Jay and I both thank God for you. We pray for you. We pray for you early this morning so that your day would be blessed. We want you blessed. We want you healthy and strong and all of these things. But we also are going to give an account for you. That means one day we will stand before God and the work, every man's work will be tried. That's what the Word says. You're not going to be judged for your sin. If you have already put your faith in Christ, your sin has already been judged. When I was a little kid, I kind of got the great white. There's two judgments There's a judgment for the sinner, but then there's a judgment for the saints. And the judgment for sinners is called the Great White Throne Judgment. I know this because my dad was a Bible prophecy teacher. And so from the time I'm really, really little, that was the discussion that I heard all the time in the family. I mean, I heard prophecy all the time. I mean, I could spell Antichrist before I went to kindergarten. So, I mean, all these words and terms and everything, I've heard them forever. But I got a little confused whenever I was little, and I was terrified. Because I thought, because it was taught, and this is what the Word of God teaches. When sinners stand before God, He is going to roll out to them all of their sin. And it will be known. They'll have like a flashback. You say, how's he going to do that? I don't know. He's God. He can do it. Just trust me. And it will be known. And the Bible says he will judge the great and the small. It means the beggar on the street who dies in their sin that is not repented. It means that beggar will be judged by God. It means the kings of this earth will be judged by God. It means the multi-billionaires will be judged by God. They will stand before God and they will give an account. Well, when I heard that as a little kid, for some reason I just got it all confused. And I didn't hear the part about that if you confess your sin, then he blots it out as though it never happened. When you come to Christ and you ask him to forgive your sin, he by his blood is able to do this. He takes it and he takes all the record of your sin, because everybody's sins are recorded. But he takes it and he washes it clean as though it never happened. It doesn't exist. Shout, somebody. But as a little kid, I just couldn't connect all the dots. So somehow I had it in my mind that one day I was going to stand before God. And every lie and everything I'd ever done, my parents were going to know. Everybody in the church was going to know. And I was so freaked out. You know, I didn't sleep good as a kid. I did not sleep well at all. I was on pins and needles because they also told me that Jesus is coming tonight. Every service they told me, Jesus may come tonight. And I'm telling you, my little head wouldn't hit the pillow. I prayed and confessed everything you can imagine. But I still didn't have any real confidence that it was all really taken care of until I got older and understood how powerful the blood is and how wonderful that Jesus forgives us. And he never brings it up to us again. Amen. Never brings it up again. I want to tell you, lady, no matter what you ever did, if you've confessed it and you've asked the Lord to forgive you, it's as though it never happened. And if you go back to God again and you say, forgive me for that, and he's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I already forgave you. What sin? There's a song called that. What sin? He's forgotten it. I mean, that's incredible. But what he does judge in the believer is the works we have done and how we did it and our motivation and our attitude. So I said that to say this. The Bible says that Jay and I, as under-shepherds, we will give an account for what we told you, whether we taught you the truth or not, whether we sugarcoated it, whether we just wanted to be your friend or we wanted to be your pastor. You know how sometimes, and I'm not looking at anybody and I'm not judging anybody when I say this, but we all know this. If you don't know this, the older women are going to back me up. The older moms in here are going to back me up on this. You make a huge mistake when you're raising your kids and they're little, trying to be their friend instead of being their parent. Be their parent so you can be their friend later. Be willing to be mean old mama if you have to. And I'm not trying to be mean old pastor's wife tonight, okay? Don't get me wrong, because I love you. But I love you all enough to tell you the truth. I love you enough that I am going to tell you the truth. And this is some of the truth that the Lord spoke to my heart this afternoon, as I was preparing. He's trying to get you ready for what is coming. And I've told you, what are the two things that are coming? First, the return of Jesus is coming. But right before that, what else is coming? Revival. And what does he want from us? To be ready. To know, to be women that know what to do in the midst of revival. Not everybody. You see, when the babies start getting birth, there needs to be a midwife or a doctor or a nurse somewhere. And that's what we're talking about. God is about to bring people into his kingdom. They're going to be born again, but they're going to be babies. And so some of us, and not everybody can be a baby. And what he told me is this. The women of Calvary Chapel, it is time for us to get with it. It is time for us to grow up in him. It is time for us to lay aside the sin that so easily overtakes us. It is time for us to quit acting like we don't need help and to acknowledge that we do and say, God, help me. It is because when we do that, in the day we do that, God is going to answer in a profound way. And things that you've struggled with all of your life, and that's what he talked to me about. And it's hard for me to even look at you because I'm afraid you're going to think she's picking on me. I'm not picking on anybody. And he didn't point out specific sins like Kimmel. Let me pick on Kimmel. Like, okay, Kimmel is secretly a harlot. It's not like that. It's not like that, okay? He didn't tell me individual things. He gave me general things. General things. And I know I'm being silly, but I need to be serious here with you. Because I care about you, and I want to see you grow up in Christ. I want you to let go of things like jealousy. Don't let it cripple you and keep you from being the mighty woman of God you need to be in this revival. You need to let go of being bitter. Some of you are bitter and angry. Oh, you're angry about your circumstances. And you're bitter about things that have happened. And you feel, and some of you are too easily offended. Nobody can say boo to you without you just going, oh, she didn't like me. Please, dear God, grow up. I'm not talking to girls tonight. I'm talking to women. And I'm talking to women that God is looking at and saying, I want to use you in a mighty way in what's about to come. Let me get more specific here. He told me that this, he said, there's people here and they're physically unbalanced. You know what? And I will tell you this, I'm not probably going to name three things that I'm about to tell you that I haven't already experienced myself. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I have been through this, but I know this. I know where I came from, and I know what God brought me through. I know how awful I was, and I'm ashamed of it, and I thank God for forgiving me. But if he can do it for me, he'll do it for you.
Amen.
Some of you are mentally not balanced. Don't look at anybody. You're not thinking right. You don't think right. You let the enemy change your thinking up too much. You're too controlled. The blueprint for your mind is not right here. It's in what everybody else is saying about you. And it moves you greatly. This is what needs to move you right here. Let this move you. Some of you are not emotionally balanced. You're not mature. You have emotions like somebody that's a kid and you're a grown woman. Some of you have got sexual hang-ups. He told me this. Some of you do struggle with a lot of lust, not just towards men. Some of you lust for things too. And he wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. Because you can't be used in the kingdom in the condition you're in. He wants to transform you. He wants to do a makeover on you. Just help me just a minute because I'm trying to remember exactly. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable. I'm trying to help you. Some of you are selfish. Self-centered. It's all about you. God wants to transform you. Some of you have such an inferiority complex that you don't even know how to interact with people because you're afraid what other people constantly are thinking, judging you. And I want to say this. A lot of what I'm saying came out of wounds and hurts that you got as a kid. But I will tell you this. See, there's a God. We already read the scriptures. He will help you if you let him. You don't have to spend the rest of your life insecure. You don't have to go through the rest of your life feeling inferior. You can find out who he intended you to be and be happy about it. There's sometimes that we can be too competitive. We're too competitive. We're always trying to be better than everybody else. There's times that we can just, there's people in here and you struggle with depression. And you've struggled with it a long time. And I'm not putting you down. I'm saying there is another way to live. You don't have to live under a cloud of depression all your life. You can have some joy. You can have a lot. You can walk around and not feel like you have a care. You can want actually to get up and go to work. You can actually want to get up and interact with people. You don't have to feel down, depressed. I don't want to do anything. God didn't create you. You were not created for that. And he wants to help you. He wants to lift you out of it. He wants to transform you. And this transforming is, like I said, he's not just changing us so that we can say, look at me, I'm all transformed. But we're transformed for purpose.
Amen.
Some of you are going to be mighty, mighty women in this last wave of revival. You will be called to be intercessors that will stand on the wall. And you say, what's an intercessor? An intercessor is someone that stands between a problem and God and talks to God about the problem. And sometimes the problem is a person. Sometimes the problem is a nation. Sometimes the problem is just a problem. But they intercede and they feel this burden in their heart and they can't get away from it. They can't just let it go. They just want to pray. Some of you will be mighty intercessors that will cause people that are out there to come. We had a woman show up Sunday at church. She hadn't been here in several years. And I thought she was here actually for the baby dedication. I asked Dawn, I said, I saw her. And she said, I said, was she here for this? She said, no. She wasn't here for the baby dedication. She said, for 3 weeks, God's been dealing with her heart to come to this church. Get back in the church and go to Calvary when you do. How does that happen? Why would a woman say, I feel that? I'll tell you why. Because there's intercessors in there on Sunday morning that are saying, God, I know there's women out there. They need what we've got in here. Well, they need you, Lord Jesus. And they're praying and they're saying, God, create the circumstances. But I hear sometimes they're praying. Intercessors can be vicious in the way they pray. They can pray, Lord, don't let them sleep until they say yes to you, Lord. Don't let them eat, Lord. Let them not even have an appetite, oh God. I mean, an intercessor. Look, it's going to take intercessors. It's going to take women that are skillful in the word of God. Some of you should be very skillful in this word. And if you will ask God to make you skillful, he'll make you skillful. He'll make you say, I have trouble memorizing. No, you don't. No, you don't. We're very selective about what we can remember. If somebody, you know, how many can remember their bank account? How many can remember your social security number, your telephone number? Oh, we remember all kinds of things. How many can remember your children's names? See, you can remember. Don't give me that excuse. And the more you use it, the better you'll be at it. Clear out the clutter. Clear out the junk. Some of you are very distracted. You're so distracted with what you want to do. And your stuff. What is your go-to place whenever everything is done and you've taken care of all responsibilities? What's your go-to place? Please tell me at some point it's go to God. Tell me at some point you've got a prayer life and read it. I'm not picking on you. I'm getting you ready.
Yes.
I'm telling you this is part of the transformation. And if you want to be a spiritual God makeover kind of a woman, mighty in the spirit, that the devils tremble when you walk in the room. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, get a hold of that because devils are everywhere. You need that one more than some of the other things I said because there's some of you got devils in your house. I'm not picking on you again, but I'm telling you, some of you need to kick the devil out. That's the problem. It's not him. It's the devil. And the devil is using him. I fully expect this, and it's not arrogance. See, know the difference between knowing who you are in Christ and having a confidence and an authority, not because of who I am, but who lives on the inside of me. And I know this. Jesus lives on the inside of me, and everywhere I go, devils tremble. Because I put my faith in his name. I had a vision one time. We got a call in the middle of the night. It was my brother-in-law called. He's a police officer. A fellow officer's son, 12 years old, had accidentally shot himself in the head. It was their only child. And they called us in the middle of the night and wanted to know, would Jay come up there and pray? They'd already said he wouldn't make it through the night and all that kind of stuff. And so my husband got up, got out of the bed, got dressed, and left. When he walked down the hall in the house we were living in at the time, immediately it was like a screen came on. And I could see this. I could see him going up the elevator at the hospital. I saw the elevator doors open. And when he walked out into the hall, he turned to the left. And the nurse's station was here. And I saw underneath, in that hallway, underneath the nurse's desktop there, I could see these little impish devils. And when the doors opened and Jay walked out, I heard those devils start screaming, "Not him! Not him! We'll have to leave!" You know, you can say, well, yeah, he's the pastor. That's the way. No. Everywhere a blood-bought child of God goes, it's like that. You don't know how many devils ran from you today if you're walking in the Spirit. It's going to take that. It's going to take that because I'm convinced we've got a devil-possessed society that needs the grace of God to be shown to them in a proper way, in a loving way. There's some of you, God is going to flood your life with love like you've never known before. I was talking to somebody before service, and they were talking to me about how that God had put love in their heart Sunday morning for somebody that was here. Somebody that's difficult, somebody that doesn't fit, somebody that is out of kilter. And God just put love in their heart. That is what has to happen in this end time revival. It will be a revival of love. Count on it. Count on it. God moves where love is, because God is love. You want to be a channel of God's love, then you're going to have to let him transform you. He said, well, I'm loving. I love people. Do you just love the ones that love you? How do you handle that one that's a witch? Let me know. How's that working for you? See, because the love of God loves all and is able to rise above it because they see differently. They see that woman that's acting like a witch, she needs Jesus. That's what's wrong with her. Man, the other day I was in Walmart. I was walking out. And the regular exit doors, there was like 3 or 4 people piled up. And I was in a hurry and I'm not patient. And that's one of those things that's transforming in me. Thank you, Jesus. So I started to go out the entrance door. And when I got to the door, there was a lady coming in. So I stopped and I said, hey, I know I'm going the wrong direction. You know, I was smiling, being real nice and everything. And she was a little older lady, and she came through, and she goes, I know. When I said I'm going the wrong direction, she said, I know. She goes, what's the big deal? She goes, I do it all the time. She said, and when people say something to me like, you're going the wrong direction, I just go, bite me. And I thought to myself, I'm so glad I stopped to talk to you today. You're a delight. Oh, I'm telling you, it was just this nasty little, ugh. You know, and my thought was, ugh, I hope I never see her again. And then I stopped and I thought, she needs Jesus. She just needs Jesus. That's all that's wrong with her. That's the way I look without Jesus. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready to let God reach down? You say, Debbie, you haven't said one thing. I think I'm good in all the areas that you said. Well, good for you. Now deal with that pride you got going on. Because sometimes we reach a point where we think, God. And you know, after God did all that changing in me, you have no idea. You have no idea what was going on in me when God told me all those years ago that he wanted to change me. It had a lot to do with faith. And then whenever I went through all that brain tumor stuff, oh. See, because the doctors, and I'm closing with this, the doctors all said, well, you're going to die. Well, when the doctor tells you stuff like that, see, I had two different things going on because my faith was saying, I'm not going to die. But I knew also that the doctor said, yeah, you are. You're going to die. And so I thought, okay, well, I'm going to get everything right that it needs to get right. I'm going to talk to everybody I need to talk to, my children, my husband, everything. And then the old ugly thing of things in the past that I hadn't dealt with. Ugly stuff. I felt like I'd lived some lies, you know? And I had to go back and I had to say, I didn't tell you the truth. Because I felt like I might be standing before God in the morning, you know? If I don't come through this surgery the way they say, then my next stop is standing before God. And I'm not going to stand before him and say, I know, I should have made it right. Mm-mm. So it was a real transforming time for me. And when I came out of it, my face was rearranged from the surgery. And it was months. I mean, I was just, it was real swollen and like big scars and no hair. And I just felt, I didn't feel like myself. I didn't know who I was. I had double vision. And the physical part of it is the least of it. But I will tell you something. Before I went in that surgery, God dug deep. And I'm praying that God's going to dig deep in you. You say, I don't want that. This is going to be my last Wednesday night. Please don't. Please come back. Let God heal you. Let God help you. He's just going to make it for the good, because when I got all through all that, I was forever changed. I'd always been scared all my life. I wasn't scared anymore. A brain tumor, go through like, you ain't scared of nothing. I wasn't scared anymore. And it wasn't that. It was just, I had a new level of faith in God, a new confidence in God, that I knew God can bring you through anything. It don't matter what anybody tells you. God is wanting to transform you, change you, make you into his image, make you like him. Listen to this scripture, and I'm closing. Hebrews 4:12. When God's blueprint is for your life, this is what it says. For the word of God. Say that with me. The word of God is quick, of powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. There's a difference between your soul and your spirit. Maybe we'll talk about that next week. That means that God's word goes in and it sorts everything out. And of the joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You want to know who you are? And then James says this. He said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, woman, she is likened to a woman beholding her face in a mirror. For she sees herself and goes her way and right away forgets what she looks like. But whoever looks with a perfect law of liberty and freedom and continues therein. You can't just hit and miss. You've got to continue in the word of God. You've got to dig and let the word of God dig in you until there's a change. Not be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This woman shall be blessed in her work. It's a work that's worthy. When you dig into the word of God, and then you say, God, it's like a mirror. Have you ever opened it up? And you read something, and you go, oh, that's me. That's me. That's what that means. That's what that scripture means. You look in here and you go, oh, like a loud-mouthed woman will not have a happy marriage. And I've read that and go, oh, God, that's me. Oh, God, help me, Jesus. And, you know, like a lazy man will never, or a lazy woman, you know, it's just a lazy person, will not ever have anything. You know, you read that. And I go, oh, God, that's me. Let the word of God speak to you. I'm not telling you that's you, but that, I mean, I've read it and I go, oh, God, help me. That's me. That's what I'm saying. This is your blueprint. You want to know where you're going? Here it is. You want to figure it out? You say, I had trouble reading it. I don't even understand it. Go to the bookstore. Get you some helps. Get books that will tell you about how to be a woman of God, how to follow God, promises of God. Get the word on the inside of you and watch the change. I know no quicker way to change you than the word of God. It will change you. Stand with me tonight. I love you. Love you, and I appreciate you. I'm for you, not against you. Would never hurt you, would never wound you, would never tell your secrets. Don't have to know your secrets to love you and pray for you. I'm not going to get all in your business, but I will tell you, the Holy Spirit, I believe, was digging in us tonight. And he was saying, get ready for me to transform you. Get ready for me to make you over and change some things. We're going to be talking about issues that women, that specifically deal with women, in the next few weeks. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's going to take it and he's just going to start doing a work on you. You know, a lot of times we say, women ask silly questions like, if you could change any part of, like, your physique, what would you do first? We do stupid stuff.
We go, well, if I had the money, I mean, I would get rid of this. That's awesome. Or I would get this lifted or this tucked or this plucked. And, you know, we know all of those things. But we need to do spiritually. We need to say, God, I can't see on the inside of me. And I don't know what all is going on with me. But God, change me. Change me, God, for your glory. Transform me so I can be that mighty woman of God. I can get ready for what you're about to do. Because it's going to be awesome. It's going to be so awesome. And God, I don't want to miss it. I want to be right in the middle of it. I want to be part of what you're doing, God. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. Father, I praise you tonight, Jesus. And I thank you for every woman that is here. I thank you that you are faithful to us, Lord, and that you never, ever delight in exposing us and exposing our sin and our faults and our weaknesses. Because you say in your word that your love covers a multitude of sins. Lord, you desire to cover it. You don't want to hurt us. But Lord, there's times that you have to show it to us. You got to show us the areas that need some work. And Father, I pray that every woman in this house will reach her purpose, her destiny, Lord, that you've purposed for her from the time even before she was born. And there will not be a flaw. There would not be anything in us, oh God, that we don't say, Lord, change it if it's going to hinder what you want to purpose for my life. God, I pray for the one here tonight who deals with anxiety. I pray for the one tonight, Lord, that deals with depression. I pray, Lord, tonight for the one that deals and walks in constant fear and can't even explain it. They just feel fear all the time. They're worried. Those that worry, Lord, they can't sleep. They can't rest. They don't know what to do. Lord, I pray tonight we give all of our junk to you, Lord. And we say, Lord, change us. Change us, Lord. Take it away, God. Lord, send a healing, I pray, into our lives. Lord, you have promised us that you would give us beauty for ashes, the joy of the Lord for mourning, that Lord, you would give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that Lord, you can do those things, and I praise you for it. Lord, I pray for any woman in here tonight that feels mentally unbalanced, that Lord God, you will speak peace into her heart and mind, that Lord, tonight she'll trust you and say, God, I can trust you for this. The woman that feels emotionally disturbed, emotionally unbalanced, and is having such severe swings of mood that, God, nothing seems right. I pray for that lady here tonight. And I ask you, Lord, heal her and balance her as only you can. Lord, I pray for all of the other things we've talked and we've said tonight. Lord, you are very specific. And, Lord, you are raising up. And I thank you for mighty women in here that I know, God, are in process with you. That, Lord, they have opened their lives. Their life is an open book to you. And, Lord, you are doing a great work and a mighty work that I can see. And, Lord, even when I cannot see, I know you're working, Lord, in every one of us. And I give you praise and glory for it. Lord, bless tonight. Lord, may we walk out of here feeling, Lord, that a load has been lifted. I'm going to ask you tonight, if you came in here and your heart was heavy and you feel overwhelmed, but right now, because the Spirit of God and the Word of God has been talking to you, you feel like a load has been lifted off you, raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that a work is already happening and is already taking place. Transform us, Lord. Lord, we're pretty excited about what it's going to look like when you're through. Lord, we want that makeover. God, make us over from the inside out. Oh, I give you praise and I give you glory. Can you just say, Lord, I thank you now. Lord, I'm excited about what you're about to do in my life. Lord, I'm excited about the changes. And Lord, I won't resist you. And I won't act like I don't need it. God, I need your help. I need your help, Lord. And I trust you for it and I believe you for it. And with everybody's head still bowed, I just want to say this and then I'm going to dismiss you. If you want prayer tonight, I want to pray with you. I'd love to agree with you in prayer. If you've got a special need or you just want prayer tonight, please just line up across the front here. I'm going to pray with you. The rest of you, you can be dismissed. And I want to just tell you that I love you and I appreciate you. Turn to that lady next to you and give her a hug and tell her you're glad that she's here tonight.
I am
special. Praise your Lord. If you want prayer, come forward. Well, I don't mind to stay and pray with you.
I'm glad you're
God
here.
Bless you. Those of you visiting, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. And get ready. Get ready for the transformation.
Amen.
Give the Lord a praise.
clap offering before you go.